You're listening to Your World Today on Radio Islam International. Now we speak about developments in Turkey. And we're joined on the line by reporting editor, Middle East Desk, Al Jazeera English, Megan, who speaks to us live from Doha in Qatar. Megan, good day to you and welcome to the program on Radio Islam.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. The Turkey-Syria border town Gaziantep is under the spotlight. Why is this place so interesting?
Yeah, I mean, so Gaziantep has been in the news quite a bit lately. Over the past 5 years, the town has become quite an intake point for refugees fleeing the Syrian conflict. And so the demographics of the town have changed quite a bit as more and more, hundreds of thousands, in fact, of Syrians have come in. That's created some tensions in the town, but also there are some security issues that have made Gaziantep a focus. Over the past week, there's been a number of security alerts, which are common there. These are pretty typical. There was a threat about a terror cell operating in the city. There were some bomb threats. This has been happening in Gaziantep because of the fact that it's known that ISIL members have been moving through the city on their way to Raqqa, the so-called capital of the group in Syria. And it's sort of become part of that transit path and created a lot of security issues. So there's a lot of different things going on there, putting it into the spotlight.
You spoke to the mayor of Gaziantep. What did she say about the situation?
Yeah, that's right. Mayor Fatma Shaheen was, we spoke with her last week, and she, talked a little bit about the conflicts that have arisen from the refugee influx and also the security situation. She was relatively optimistic about security there. She actually compared the city to other places, Germany and the U.S., saying it was just as safe because, you know, anywhere in the world today could become the target of a terrorist attack, and that Gaziantep is no different from anywhere else in that respect. Although, of course, we know that its proximity to the Syrian border does raise other issues, but she was optimistic on that front. And she also spoke about some of the efforts that the city has been making to try to reach out to Syrian refugees and try to accommodate them in the system. Of course, there's 350,000 Syrians in Gaziantep, most of whom are living outside of formal refugee camps. And so she discussed, efforts to integrate them into the workforce, into schools. There's quotas that have been put into place of 10% Syrian members of the workforce in schools. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation. There's a lot of challenges, but she was pretty optimistic about the future for the city going forward.
Yes, now, as you outlined, she compared Gaziantep to Germany. But the question that is behind this and how it's being portrayed in mainstream media, why is it that every place where refugees seem to be going is being portrayed as a dangerous place by mainstream media?
Yeah, and that's a problem, of course, because there's certainly no correlation between refugees and security in a direct sense. I think some of the reasons that this comes up again and again are that, you know, areas like Gaziantep, border cities, there's two things going on there. There is an influx of refugees, but then there's also the proximity to the border that makes it a place where fighters can easily come and go and may want to go first en route to fighting in Syria. So I think there's a false equivalency. I mean, some people look at the fact that refugees are present there and look at the fact that there are increased security issues, and they put those two things together as if one has to do with the other, but in fact, they're completely separate issues.
In terms of the ongoing conflict in Syria, how has that conflict now reshaped Gaziantep?
Yeah, there's certainly a couple of ways that it's, many different ways, in fact, that it's been reshaping Gaziantep. I mean, the first is, of course, the demographics. As I said, 350,000 Syrians have moved into Gaziantep. This alone, this is bolstering the population by 20%. I mean, this alone changes the face of it because you have a different population living there, and different needs, and, the city needs to find ways to accommodate them. So, one thing that's been causing some tension is the economic situation. Obviously, the influx has caused rents to skyrocket, and so you hear a lot of complaints from Turkish citizens about the fact that rents have gone up, so things aren't quite as affordable as they were. Also, even other products at shops. There might be some Syrian shops that have opened and some Turkish residents complaining that the prices that they're offering for goods are undercutting the Turkish prices, and they're losing business as a result of this. So you do see this kind of economic tension going on there. And at the same time, I mean, over the past 5 years, just what we were speaking about, the security situation has certainly changed as well. There have been reports of ISIS guest houses that were operating within Gaziantep, because this was part of the transit path of Gaziantep, Kilis to Raqqa. So houses basically where ISIS was holding the recruits prior to the journey on to Syria. And so it's kind of just accepted now that the ISIS members could be roaming around. You don't really necessarily know who they are, but that this is part of that transit network. So I think dealing with all of these sorts of challenges has changed the city. It's definitely made it more difficult in some ways. But in other ways, I mean, certainly the demographic changes have been helpful to the city. I mean, you're bringing in new people, new culture. You know, they're bringing in new money as well. So it's interesting. I mean, it's you can look at it from two sides, I would say.
Tell us about Gaziantep's Rainbow Center and how it is helping Syrian refugees with education.
Yeah, so the Rainbow Center is a nice little program that's been operating for just about a year now. And this was started by a group of volunteers who actually began by, they saw a lot of the Syrian kids who ended up turning to the streets to, you know, beg money or to sell gum or to sell tissues just to make a little bit of money for their families. And so these volunteers saw this happening, and they tried to think, you know, what can we do to help this situation? Because this should not be the image of Syrian children. I mean, they're young children, and they should be getting an education. They should be having some fun, you know, having a childhood. And so they ended up launching this little center, and, you know, it's grown since then over the months. What it offers is basically an alternative to schooling because, you know, as you know, not all Syrian children can get a spot in schools right now. There's just simply not enough space. So, you know, this gives them a chance to do some drawing, do some artwork. They're taught language skills as well at the center. And it's, yeah, as I said, it's been up for about a year now, and about 60 kids attending. And it's sort of just giving them something else to do, like something to focus on and something to look forward to sort of take them off the streets.
Salim Abdul Ghani, who manages the volunteer-run Rainbow Center, said about the Syrian refugee children, if we lose this generation, we lose Syria. How big is the task of saving these kids?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly it's a huge task, and it's absolutely true. I mean, you have a generation of children now. So many of them have been exposed to trauma. So many of them have had to flee the war. They've seen relatives die. They've seen their homes destroyed, their friends die, they've had to leave the country that was all they ever knew. And it's a huge task to try even just to think about what the next generation will be like with Syria still at war. We don't know when it's going to end. I think it's very important right now to be thinking about these sorts of initiatives. And for those kids who are out of school, you know, what can be done? What are some alternatives? I mean, obviously this is a very small initiative, but certainly there's other ones like it, and there's other efforts like this being made. And I don't think the importance of this can't be underestimated when you consider the magnitude of the Syrian crisis. I mean, millions of people displaced, and with no end in sight, really.
Yes, it's really tragic in that light. We appreciate the valuable information that you've shared with us, Megan. Thank you very much for your time on Radio Islam.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day. Good evening. Bye.
You too. Bye.
That was Megan O'Toole, reporting editor, Middle East Desk, Al Jazeera English, speaking to us about Gaziantep under the spotlight, the Syrian border town. I had the opportunity of visiting Gaziantep, and that was when we went as a part of a relief mission with Al Imdad to Turkey. And we stopped in Gaziantep. In fact, we landed at the Gaziantep airport, which is quite an impressive structure. Small one. It reminds me somewhat of the Port Elizabeth airport in its size, but a better structure and well-equipped. And from there, we made our way to some of the other smaller towns and delivering aid and also checking up on the work of Al Imdad. So Gaziantep, one of the key areas, undoubtedly.